If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is Being Chosen, Choosing Back, Choices, and Consequences. So, let's call ourselves forward, take a deep breath, and integrate all of your higher principles. Breathe in down, so that you fully occupy all the levels of your subtle bodies multidimensionally and anchor them firmly into the time-space that you now occupy in your physical envelope. Take another deep breath. And again, receive that integration of your higher principles as you do so. And flood all the levels of your being, pushing to the periphery anything that can now at this time be dissolved through grace, and just see it pop like little black soap suds at the periphery of the aura, and just wash yourself with the love that you are, that is your true nature. And tonight we're going to look at something very powerful, and that's the power of choice, and how with every choice you set in motion, the consequences that then become what you get involved with in your life. So let's ask at this time that the divine spirit within us would illumine our understanding and our minds and bring to our attention the necessity of making more conscience-driven choices, conscious and conscious from the conscience itself directed choices. And we ask that whatever at this time could be dissolved and lifted from us of the consequences that we have set into motion, that now we would like to end cycle on but don't know how, that the Holy Spirit could reveal within our understanding the steps we need to take to bring a more conscious ordering of what we set in motion in our lives. So how many of you are aware of the choices that you're making each day? You know, when you look at your life right now, that's the sum total of the choices you've been making all along. Do you like what you're sitting in today? Do you like what's on your karmic plate? If you don't, you're not without power to make new choices. So we invite the Holy Spirit, we invite the office of the Christ, the order of Melchizedek, and the lineages that we carry from spirit into our incarnation that are our spiritual benefactors, our upline, if you will, that really stand in with us as we make choices in our life. We really are not alone. We really have a whole backup team of people who love us and support us on many, many dimensions of being. Not the least of which, those of you who are here on Earth assignment, the Ashtar Galactic Command. Remember that you were sent into this arena to be of service during this time of planetary change because you were worthy to be chosen to be a volunteer on Earth assignment. You were chosen. You were handpicked. You were the cream of the crop. Even though you may still be rubbing your eyes and getting the sand out of them from sleepiness, even though you may not be fully in control of your mission at this point and fully exercising conscious spiritual awareness all the time, hey, you started a journey that is one of great courageous adventure and daring do. And many of you have come from worlds where this may be your very first time to actually be in third density Earth consciousness. So realize and accept the blessing of knowing that you've been chosen. Now, in order to close that agreement, you have to choose back. You have to exercise the choice of choosing back. How do you choose back? Well, you say, yes, I'm on Earth assignment. I'm committed to this. I'm committed to the light. I'm committed to establishing universal brotherhood on this planet and throughout the galaxies. I'm willing to be the living love here in this time-space capsule. I'm willing to do the hard things that need to be done to reconcile and be a peacemaker and a bridge of mediation and reconciliation amongst my fellow brothers and sisters. Yes, I will choose to be unpopular with the ego, with those who would choose the self-compromising positions. I will not exactly win any popularity awards with the ego-driven. I'll probably be labeled a hater when I choose to stand against the injustice of spiritual unconsciousness. So, while I may be castigated as I fulfill my mission, nevertheless, I'm choosing backboard. Because if they threw brick bats at you and nailed you on a cross when all you did was go about loving and healing and encouraging and empowering, if they did that to you, what would they do with us? Well, today it's verbal assassination. They assassinate your good name. They slander you behind your back. They talk ill of you when all you've done is exercise your choice to listen to your better nature, to listen to your conscience, to follow the Christ, to stand up no matter what the price or the consequences, and be true to the light that you are. Now, in the world, it's not popular. This is not a world that values truth and light, at least not yet. But we are the light of this world. We are the salt. We are that which preserves sanity. And we are the guarantee that this planet will, in fact, be admitted into the alliance of peaceful worlds, and that we will earn the right to move forth into the greater family of other planetary worlds and travel and explore and learn from other nations, other star nations, and other brothers and sisters that live in the greater omniverse. Yes, that is what stands before this planet as she gradually makes that dramatic consciousness shift into the higher fifth dimensional consciousness and frequency of living love. So, we live in a world in which mankind has been divinely granted free will. And so it is always our exercise of choice which sets in motion a specific chain of events. But it can accurately be stated that we alone, out of a single choice of perspective, really give rise to the entire world that we then experience. And that specific reality materializes that before you made the choice was completely in the unmanifested state. So choice is always the first act of creation. So choice is a powerful creative event. Even God makes choices. In fact, according to the Vedic account of creation, mankind itself came into being when God made the first choice and said, "I am one, let me become many." And thus our individual souls came into being and existence. I might add, eternal existence, because whatever is created by the Supreme Creator is endowed with eternality. So he stuck with us for eternity. Now, according to the ancient Venusian scriptures, which are called the Shariat Ki Sukhmad, Shariat means way, key of, and Sukhmad is the name that we call the Eternal One or the Eternal Creator. So the Shariat Ki Sukhmad is a scripture that shows you the way of the eternal, how to live in the way and to return to that which is eternal beyond the lower phenomenal worlds of polarity and duality and testing where we find ourselves now upon this earth. So the great Eternal One created individual souls out of his love and his desire to express his love through the many. And as parts of himself, he spread himself throughout all of creation. So, however, the Eternal One at some point became displeased with all of his many selves simply enjoying innocent play within the God realms, where they were not tested. They were not serving from a selfless position because they didn't have self-awareness in any form of separation. So according to the Shariat Ki Sukhmad, the great Sukhmad shrugged his shoulders and sent all of the many, many souls cascading down into all the dimensional planes and worlds below his eternal kingdom. Interesting word picture. I like that. Souls cascading down to alight in all the multiplicity of worlds below his eternal kingdom. So thus souls came in to inhabit all of the planetary worlds and realms within every dimension. And souls were sent forth to experience all things. But one day, to grow weary of experience and to get up and return, as it were, like the prodigal son. One day you sort of come to your senses and you say, "What am I doing here? I want to return to that which is eternal and true and loving." So we can know from this story, how every one of us has been chosen and created specifically out of love, by love, for love, and for the purpose of spreading love throughout all worlds and dimensions. We can also understand that the soul of mankind exists not only upon this earth, but upon all worlds and in every dimension. So, all of the races that currently inhabit our planet originated from seeds that were sown originally and cultivated upon other planets within our solar system. So as our third dimension is now merging with the fourth dimension, this is why we are now able to see and photograph the orbs. You know, you see so many of pictures where orbs are just everywhere surrounding the people in the physical picture. And the orbs are the souls of countless beings that surround us. In the Shariat Ki Sukhmad, the scriptures of Venus, this vast sea of souls is called the divine ocean of love and mercy. And thus we live and move and have our being within a great divine sea of life, with all dimensions, coexisting and co-sharing life in God, all at the same time. Kind of interesting, huh? So all souls are divinely chosen, and all souls are equal in God's sight. Equally loved, equally valued, and equally given freedom, complete freedom, to choose how they will exercise that freedom, and which experiences they will choose to undergo. In the Shariat Kisugmat, it is said that each soul is given an initial primal karmic imprint, an Adi Karma. And the Sanskrit term, karma, simply means action, and comes from the root kri, K-R-I, which means to do. So that initial primal impetus to action is very important, because without that boost, soul would have no inclination or motivation to engage in any action. It's karma actually that sets the motivation to act. And this karmic imprint sets the momentum for soul to set forth in its initial journey into the lower worlds, where it will explore and experience life as one of the many facets and faces of the Eternal One. Yes, we are an image of God. So as we make choices in life, we set in motion a flow of events that present, again, more choices, each choice leading to a series of consequences through which soul gains experience and gradually acquires the ability to make better and wiser choices. You know, at first, we choose out of our lower nature, because the first thing that happened when we were cascading down as soul, as extensions of God's desire to be many, was a little idea of separation. It's like, ah, we've been cast out, we've been rejected, we are not worthy to be with God. God has cast us forth out of his presence. That was the interpretation the false self made. And out of that sense of separation came what we call the false self or the ego. And so gradually, the higher self, through many, many painful experiences in these lower worlds, begins to assume more and more influence as we begin to awaken more to the light that we truly are. And this higher nature begins to exert some degree of influence on our choices. And this increases and becomes more predominant until the divine nature finally assumes complete direction of all of our choices. And then we're called a spirit-led son and daughter of God, like the Christ. We have stepped into our Christhood. So at that point, we return home, or our return home is fully in process, and we are awakening and finding ourselves in the heart of God as a actual reality. So this returning home to truth is really to God, and yet that requires our choice also. You know, we're returning to that which we have never separated from. But until we choose again, we are not aware that we're separated. We're so invested into the sense of being separated that we're not aware that there's any other way. So even the awareness to choose back must be divinely granted in some form. It must be brought to our attention in some way. And when it is, we have to choose into it by choosing back. So we must make a conscious decision to choose the light. And you choose the light by repenting, which means to rethink and reconsider what your choices have produced in your life up to now, and what you need to turn your back on to move forward into a greater degree of precision in the choices that you're making. So as we turn away from the former ways of darkness into the light, we have chosen back, and we have chosen the Christ. We have chosen God. And when we've made the choice to follow the light of the Christ and to be a disciple of the eternal way home, then we began to awaken sequentially and gradually and appropriately within the heart of all love. That doesn't mean you depart the earth. It means you begin to import heaven through everything you say, think, and do, and through your physical life right now. Because it's not a leaving, it's not a departing. Everything is here now. That's the one thing we need to remember. Everything is separated within the quantum mechanics of the universe only by a differentiation of wavelength and frequency and modulation of light and sound and geometric patterning and the choice of what we're going to come into agreement with, which places us again in a specific energetic coordinate. So you see, the Eternal One, our true home within the heart of all love, has been residing within us as our own spiritual nature all this time, but in a dormant state of potential until we choose back. And we do that again by rethinking where we've landed in our life and deciding there must be a better way and choosing to follow that higher way, turning our lives over to God, saying, okay, I've messed it up until now. Now you have your hand at it. Go for it, God. You know, I want to see what you can make of this life. And that simple choice awakens and activates our conscious awareness of God. And it's often an experience that instantly changes and transforms our entire attitude in life. That's how powerful you're choosing back. And you're choosing to follow the Lord and the light can be. So your lesson in life is always involving how you choose to respond. Will you choose to respond true to your better conscience? Or will you react from your negative ego? Your true self will always respond from loving kindness and goodwill. The ego always reacts from a position of separative agenda and the many guises and disguises of fear. You know, I wonder how many of you knew when the United States made the choice to retaliate the events of 9/11 and bomb Iraq, that it was a bad choice. I sure did. How many of you foresaw this action, this choice, that it would lead to a whole chain of bloody and powerful consequences for years to come? That knowing that I think many of us had came from our better conscience. You know, we, in speaking as the Ashtar Command now, when I lapse into we, that's what I'm doing. You see, with me, I have to explain a little here. You either have Ashtar, or you have Athena, or you have the collective called the Ashtar Galactic Command, or you have potluck, which could be any of the above. So that's what comes from being a multidimensional oversoul manifestation into this time-space continuum that is very wedded to the idea of time and sequence and being a singular identity, which I can't do that anymore because I'm a many in one. And that's an oversoul thing. So now that you know that I'm totally off my rocker, let's continue. Oh, I love it. You gotta love it. That's a good choice to make. So, anywho, there was a sense that we had really done a boo-boo when we threw that flaming missile into the anthill, so to speak, and all of the red ants came pouring out with great vengeance. You know, it's interesting. There's a story that on Mars, nuclear detonations actually created a race of giant ants, which were so organized and so unified in how they operated that they actually decimated life on the surface of that planet at one time in its very ancient history. And life largely at that point went underground and in another dimension where the ants were not. Now, that'll give you nice dreams, won't it? So, if, I often replay this in my mind, if we had not chosen to go in and bomb Iraq, if instead we had not reacted out of fear and separation, but had instead really stopped and prayed and asked for higher intervention to understand how we could take another approach instead of repeating past history of war and peace and war and peace, actually never peace, but kind of a breath in between wars. If we could have instead responded from our soul aspect instead of our national ego, and could have reached in to find a way to help our brothers and sisters in some of the worlds where they have a lesser quality of life, not necessarily Iraq, because it was a beautiful, beautiful nation, actually, at that time, but just in general, if we could reach out and see how we could fill that gap between the haves and the have-nots, and reach out and make life better, instead of trying to always be the top dog, which comes, of course, from the ego, how would our world be different today? And nations, just like people, have a negative ego, an immature self, and a higher soul nature. And like people, nations also suffer from the consequences that is set in motion by the choices of their leader. So a leader can bring a curse on an entire nation when that leader makes unrighteous choices. If you want to read a history of that, you can go to the Bible and read the book of Kings, Kings 1 and 2, and you'll see one despotic leader after another. Why? Because the people wanted a king. It wasn't enough that God was their king. They wanted a human being to be their king. So the consequences was that they got a whole series of very, very immature souls that brought the whole nation into ruin and many, many wars and much, much bloodshed and eventual great disfavor with God and terrible consequences. So we really need to be aware of the choices that our leaders make within the higher galactic worlds. We govern by councils of wisdom. We don't have any single leader except God Almighty and the Most Radiant One. But we have masters and mentors of very great spiritual evolution and development, and the wisest of any particular planetary system will sit in councils of light, and will decide together the best way to present different things within their given areas, within their planetary civilizations. So this planet also will ultimately return to that type, or actually move into that type of governing councils eventually. The most important thing for our world, I'm going to really go out on a limb here, but I think the best thing that could happen to our world would be if we would globally abolish money, because that has been the root of everything else that has really not worked well for this planet. It was something that was a choice that human beings created. The banking system, everything developed from an original exchange where people would exchange things that were necessary like we do on other planets. And everything was owned in common like it is on other planets. And that was before the division into nations and the creating of a monetary system and the competition of commercial enterprise. I know that's highly valued, but you know what? We don't have it in our planetary worlds, and we haven't had war, conflict, and bloodshed for so many millions of years that ego-warring nature no longer exists in us in any degree whatsoever. And that is what lies before you as a vision of what could be if you learn to choose from your higher divine nature instead of allowing your negative ego to pull you along by the nose. So, whether individually or nationally or collectively, you know, is our choice as a planet. Whatever we dictate through our choices, we are held responsible because we make the circumstances that prevail by those choices. I'd like to go into a few areas here and point out what we have created that is now upon us with great, great detriment. Since the very first detonation of the atomic fission on your planet, we of the Ashtar Command in the early 50s began to come in and monitor and actually check out what in the world was going on. And we were shocked when we saw the effects that had been unleashed by the nuclear testing and the practice of nuclear fission. So, because every approach that we could possibly make was ignored, and fear, hatred, and power mongering was the order of the day, we had to do what we could to at least neutralize the effects as much as was karmically allowed, because you know, every planet has to learn from the consequences and choices it makes. That's part of the soul's development for that particular world. But so that it wouldn't unduly affect the rest of the solar system and spread beyond your planet, we had to come in continually as the Ashtar Command and neutralize excess radioactivity that had been unleashed in your atmosphere, in your water, in your soil. Otherwise, you'd all be one-eyed mutants by now. But another thing that happens is that the explosive material forms conglomerate aggregates of explosive matter in your solar system, around your planet, but specifically not the solar system, so much as your particular layers above your planet that you fly through. Okay? If one of your planes would fly into one of those aggregates, it would immediately disintegrate it. So we have been, for many, many decades now, dissolving those aggregates continually. Sometimes you'll see green fireballs. That's what it looks like when we're sending one of those neutralizing energy packets into an area where there's been a lot of nuclear contamination. Now, unfortunately, what you have now in place is like a degenerative radioactivity that has permeated and poisoned your water, your food, your air, and any more nuclear, God forbid, war, and you will have irreparably damaged your planet. And this is basically the cause of your cancers and all of the diseases that you have now, because it affects the immune system. You know, when you make a choice to willfully kill, maim, destroy, and harm another, That translates as self-destruction, and your immune system will not support anything but life. It will not come in and support an entity that is filled with active ill will and the urge to violent mayhem. So you pull the plug on your own life by that choice to set yourself against other brothers and sisters. Radioactivity, there is absolutely no safe way to dispose of the waste matter from your nuclear plants. Every one of them must be shut down. Every form of nuclear military defense plans must be halted on your planet immediately. And we have said this again and again and again. We've sent delegates. We have appeared in your debating chambers. We have notified heads of state. We have even offered free energy. We have offered a medical technology that would have abolished every disease on your planet decades ago. We sent Nikola Tesla, our most brilliant Venusian scientist, that gave you over 5,000 technologies that would have made your life a utopia now on planet Earth. We presented a plan for a complete money-free way to live on your planet so that you wouldn't have crime cartels. You wouldn't have this power-mongering amongst nations. And all of the things that have tormented you ever since. But instead of accepting that, you turned it down. Yes, the people, or at least the leaders of the planet that we contacted, chose, well, what they said was, well, that would destroy our economy. Yeah, it would. Would have given you a life in which you were not a slave to your economy. So it was a choice made out of the ego, but it affected everyone on planet Earth. How unfortunate. What a poor choice. Another area is disclosure. Initially, when we first started contacting, we had many landings and many face-to-face personal encounters with people on your planet in the 50s. And they were our beautiful people from Venus and Mars and Saturn, people from your own solar system that looked just like you, no difference whatsoever. All people on your planet today have their origin and their seeds, their genetic seeds from planets in your own solar system. So they're human. No difference at all. What was chosen, instead of just saying, okay, we've had a contact with beings from other worlds, the first choice made was to lie, to threaten harm to the people who were coming forward with stories, to go into complete denial by saying, this never happened, you never saw that, you better forget that, you better not talk about that, or we will take your family out. Or they'll never find your body out in the desert where we're going to do what we're going to do to you. And so there was threatenings. There was murders. Many, many, many contactees were murdered. I myself had multiple death threats and black helicopters flying over my house. My phone bugged. Tracking devices put under cars of people who came to visit me. Yeah, all of that stuff goes on. This is not a message or work that's for the faint-hearted, let's put it that way. But now, you know what? I don't give a rip. Because, for one thing, I've been doing this work for too many decades, and number two, I don't have anything to gain or lose one way or the other. But the choice to lie, to hide, to deny, to threaten, to completely go into the ego, has now allowed the ego to generate fear in a situation that should have been one of joyful expectation. It should have been the most happy, joyful news in the world to know that we were being visited by beautiful beings that haven't known warfare and hatred and sickness and disease and pain. They haven't known that for thousands and in some cases millions of years. And we should be so excited. Now, 2012, you're going to have the repeated sightings, so many every day, more and more and more and more and more. But you know what? The disclosure is coming out in, well, number one, in different nations releasing all of their so-called former secret archives on all of their UFO material. Of course, you know, the good stuff's all blacked out, so you wonder how much is actually there for people to read. And some of the people who are very elderly now that were people who had direct experiences and encounters, even up to four-star generals and high-placed people in the military and government officials and presidents and pilots, and more and more and more people are lending their stories, and astronauts that had actual encounters, that actually saw things on Mars and on the moon and these different NASA and other, you know, other nations, their space programs. So the disclosure is coming out not only through documentaries, but the History Channel has been really doing some wonderful stories on recent sightings and recent experiences. I do wish they would do more on the original contactees like George Adamski and George Hunt Williamson and some of the people I knew, Hal Wilcox, and gosh, I knew all of the early 50s contactees. I read all their books. I met many of them. I worked with George Van Tassel. I was on his board of directors. Had a lot of experience with those old-timers that actually had physical landings, were taken aboard ship, met with face-to-face with people from Venus and other worlds, and Adamski was taken to the moon. He was shown the beautiful cities that they have on the moon, and he flew over them close enough to where on the viewer of the scout ship that he was flying in, he could actually bring up the details of the cities that they flew over and see the animals and the people and the beautiful green forests and flowers and lovely things on the moon. Do we hear about that? No. I understand all of those things are edited very carefully out of anything before it's released to the public. Why this deception? Why this choice to lie and cover up and deny? Because the ego hates not being in control. It fears that more than anything else, not being in control. So it's a choice for fear all the way. And yet, you know, there are some people now that, like myself, don't give a rip. They're going to say what is true for them regardless. And they are now spearheading the disclosure. And the last estimate, according to what I understand, was that 83% of everybody that's been interviewed believes that there's life in other worlds. So unless you live under a rock, how can you not look up and see them? I can't look up in the sky any time of the day or night that I don't see our craft. So those are two areas that are having tremendous ramification on our planet now. Radiation and disclosure. And the choices that have been exercised with regard to those two very important things. One of the first things we're going to do increasingly is try with everything that we have within us to prevent a third world war. That is the most important thing that could possibly be the focus of your prayers, the focus of your visualization, that you would insert into the choosing of what you are seeing, what you are energizing with your choices of attention and intention, how important it is that we learn not to retaliate out of hatred, but respond through goodwill. And to learn the lesson that what you do to the least of them, you have done to the Christ. And moreover, you've done it to yourself, because we are all one unified field of light. And there's not a single one of us that everything we do doesn't affect the collective. Everything that we do has a universal rippling effect. So that's how close tolerant we have to be of the choices we make, the consequences we set in motion, and what we choose to come into affinity with. The ego, the lower self of people, is always going to try to enlist you into some program of againstness. I did a whole seminar on againstness, the cult of ego. And what the ego does is try to conquer by dividing and separating and polarizing and causing conflict between two issues, so that you're constantly wasting energy in defending or resisting various forms of offense. So that's why offense and strife is the root of all ego, according to James in the Bible. Strife and offense is the very root of all evil. So we have to learn to react from a higher part of ourselves. We have to train ourselves to. We have to buy time from that knee-jerk reaction to just, you know, respond from our negative self, our ego, our hate, our againstness, our agenda, our fear, and learn to respond from that higher nature, which is loving and kind and compassionate, and, you know, always presents a sense of goodwill. And basically, you'll observe that there are three fundamental ways that we can respond to any given situation. These are the three choices. Two of these choices will further bind you to consequences, and one of them will set you free of consequences. First is the unconscious, negative, knee-jerk reaction of the ego, the false self. That angry retort, that attack, that lashing out, it hurts you and it alienates others, and you are held responsible for balancing the negative consequences you've created, not them. Second, there is the conscious choice to respond with loving kindness and goodwill, and to do all you can to understand, to forgive and apply wisdom, and to stay centered in your higher self and consciousness. And the third that will set you free, if you can do it, is neither reaction nor response in any physical way, but observing from the viewpoint of the impersonal self. Or you can respond in a physical way if you can be completely detached from outcome. Obviously, you're in a self-realized state at that point. But if you can act from the impersonal self or soul, this is the true practice of what we call soul awareness or soul transcendence. And if you are really neutral and not faking it, you will not experience any reverberation, either mentally or emotionally, and you will be free. And you will set the others in that situation free if you can maintain that divine neutrality. It's called the impersonal self. So you have to sacrifice personal agenda here, personal opinions, personal need to be right, personal, vaunting of your superior position or whatever. You have to sacrifice that and not give a rip, you know, just move into that divine neutrality and stay there. And then, by staying centered in that higher awareness, you will be an agency of reconciliation and healing for that dynamic, whatever it is. And, you know, this is really only possible for a person who has totally identified with being the soul, not having a soul, but actually being the soul or the Atma. So if you can do that and not allow yourself to be drawn in by the outer happenings of those around you and their karma dramas, you will not generate any karma. There won't be any waves of repercussion. However, you know, this can't be faked. You are either free or you're not. You're either detached and impersonal and the objective observer, or you're not. So, again, don't lie to yourself. Don't be false to yourself. Be who you are and do what you do until you have found a higher way to be and to do. But be true to your own good conscience. Your conscience is your guide. It will let you know when you're in alignment with God, because consciousness is the voice for God within you. So soul awareness is a state of divine realization that develops and ripens in each individual in its own timing, and it can't be controlled or contrived. Like anything spiritual, it's authentic and true, or it's not. So this state of the impersonal self can be cultivated by meditation. For example, the great saint Ramana Maharshi gave the meditation called, Who Am I? And he maintained silence for many, many years, and people would just go and sit around his bed where he would lie, and they would become enlightened just hanging out with him. But he always had people meditate on, Who am I? And that practice is one of where you are continually piercing beyond the outer facade, beyond the illusion of the physical body, beyond the illusion of the imagination, beyond the illusion of the emotions, beyond the illusion of the mental states and belief systems we have. And you keep penetrating beyond the subconscious and the conscious layers of the aggregate of conditioning that we have taken upon and covered our pure awareness with. And as you do that, as you meditate, Who am I? In fact, Sai Baba said, every time you contemplate, Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? That constitutes true meditation. You ruminate on that. You meditate on it. You ponder it. And you don't just have to sit in chin mudra to do that. You can actually move about in your daily life and constantly keep that meditation going and kind of distance yourself as the observer of your persona as it moves through the day. And so it's a meditation you can apply all the time. And it's a good idea also to sit down and devote specific times to really go deeply into that. Your journaling process is another good way to start generating that dialogue with yourself. It's like, Who am I? In this moment, who am I? What am I acting from? Am I identified with my body? Am I identified with my emotional drama? Am I identified with a mental belief system or a theory or a particular way to see things? Perhaps it's another layer. Let me see deeper. Help me, Lord. Help me go deeper. Reveal to me who I truly am. How do you see me? How am I viewed by my Creator? You know, there's many, many approaches. But play with it. Get in there and dig deeply into the self and who you truly are behind everything. And when you think you've gotten to the end of it, go deeper. Go beyond that, whatever it is. In fact, the saying in the Vedas is, as long as you can see it and hear it, that's not it. Keep going. Because the true realms are called inaccessible, nameless, formless, invisible. It's more and more and more invisible. Until when you get in the higher God realms that are not conditioned, you create by your choice of what you want to have manifest, and that's what appears to you in those realms. Otherwise, there's nothing there. It's a blank. Very few get up into those levels. But those who are trained in soul travel, many of us do. And we can tell you there's nothing there unless you put it there. And you don't get there until you know how to put only that which is in alignment with love. So in the meantime, here's your practice. Slow down. Make a conscious effort to choose exactly how you will respond to the events that life brings your way. Slow down. So many of you are running behind your life as if it was a marathon. But you're not on top of your action. You're not on top of your energy. You're kind of being pulled along as if the events had all the power and the control. You are the divine power in this world. You are the instrument that houses the only actor, which is the divine spirit. But you're not the doer. You're the instrument through which the doing gets done. So slow down and make a conscious effort to choose very specifically what you want to energize, what you want to come into agreement with, what you want to see manifest, what you want to support with your attention and your energy. And make your choices with God. That is, in the light of your better conscience. And then make the most loving, kind, compassionate, yet not compromising your values, choices possible. And you'll know when you have, because it will feel so solid and settled within you. And your challenge will be to hold to that centered composure in the face of the negative reactions of the egos of those around you. As I said before, they're not going to be pleased when you won't compromise your values to please their agendas. Just remember, you're only going to have to give an accounting before Almighty God alone, because you're only responsible for your actions and reactions, not those of anyone else. Only yours. And so the negative ego is always going to try to enlist you to side with its cause. And just know that the cause of the agenda is always some form of separation and divisiveness and polarization. So once you're aware of how the ego tries to gain control by polarized stances and vying to be the top dog on any issue, you can then move to a neutral position and simply observe without lending any fire to the fuel. So a very excellent book on how the ego operates out of its storehouse of past painful events is A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, which I highly recommend for everyone to read and study. So the ego could be defined as your past memories of fear, separation, and pain that keep you slinging mud upon the white fabric of the present moment and future. And this storehouse of misery, Tolle refers to as the pain body. And any number of things can trigger that. And so those of you that are around people that are constantly triggered and reactive, they're acting out of that past pain, that pain body. And because we're in a rapid acceleration now of energy, everything is up on the table for everyone. And everything has to be resolved if you're going to graduate into this higher level that is now presented before you. So it's important that you deal with these issues, release them to the divine spirit, let God dissolve them in his love, and make your choices from now on with the divine spirit. Asking the Divine Spirit to help you, because one of the names of the Divine Spirit is the Helper, the one who comes along to help you to live in harmony with your Christ-like nature. So I hope this has been helpful for you, and you have your work cut out for you, and your homework, if you so choose to do it, which is to slow down and be more proactive in making conscious choices from your higher nature and your good conscience. and be the love that you are more consistently. And just be tunnel visioned on the loving, and you'll always be choosing with the Christ. So, you've been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command. And we're going to go out chanting Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. And we send our blessings of love that every man, woman, and child on this planet and all the beings of all the worlds, may they be happy, may they have peace, and may all awaken in the heart of love. Baruch Hashem, Adonai.